What's up, St. Louis? It's your host, Luke Farrell of the STL Bucket List Show. The STL Bucket List Show is driven by Bomarito Automotive Group. Bomarito is Missouri's number one car dealership with over 20 locations, so I guarantee that there's one in your neighborhood. Since the 1970s, Bomarito has sold over 1 million cars, and John and the entire team made us feel completely comfortable when we picked up our new vehicle recently for the family. So I can't thank the Bomarito team enough for driving this episode forward, and enjoy the show. Hey, St. Louis. Thanks for listening to another episode of the St. Louis Bucket List Show. We had an exciting guest on, Michael Steinberg, the president of the Steinberg Group. The Steinberg Group is the driving force behind the District STL and what's going on at the mall, actually out in West County as well. We had an incredible conversation on entrepreneurship, taking risks, taking chances, and we even got to hear Michael's morning routine. So thank you guys for tuning in and enjoy the show. For 50 years, Bankhead and Firth Orthodontics has been proudly serving the vibrant St. Louis community. As a family-owned and operated practice since day one, the commitment to excellence and personalized care runs deep. They believe in giving back to the wonderful people of St. Louis who have entrusted them with their smiles. Step into the five locations across St. Louis with modern offices equipped with the latest orthodontic technology. Their three amazing doctors are dedicated to providing top-notch, innovative treatments tailored just for you. Join us in celebrating 50 years with Bankhead and Firth Orthodontics, where your family becomes a part of theirs. Schedule your free consultation today and let them help you achieve the confident, gorgeous smile that you deserve. Because in St. Louis, your smile is your legacy.
If you want to hear about St. Louis, tune into the Bucket List Show weekly. Hear what Marissa and Luke say. It drops every Wednesday. Got a dope new guest every single week. Buckle up for the ride. Who's it gonna be? Who's on the show today? They rep St. Louis. What to do in the loo on a late night, or maybe what to do on a date night? Yeah. Bucket List has you covered, they know what's going on. What's going on, they'll give you, hey, 18 different things to do, or 19 if you need one more to choose, yeah. This city is a place we call home, a place we call home, yeah.
What's up, St. Louis? It's your host, Luke Farrell of the STL Bucket List Show. We got a very special episode planned for you today, but before I get into it, I just want to thank a few of our sponsors that have made this podcast what it is. We wouldn't be able to get here and record each and every week. We're up over 100 episodes now. We've been putting out episodes each and every week to support St. Louis and really highlight the people, places, and events that make this city special. Got to shout out friends out at Four Hands, the Regional Arts Commission of St. Louis, Bomarito Automotive Group, St. Louis Closet Company, and of course our new sponsors, Tecovis Western Boot Brand, which is out at Park Frontenac the Frontenac Mall. So it's been a pleasure to work with those people. But I want to introduce our guest today. We have somebody that's built a lot of what you see over in West County, and it's been really inspiring to watch. So congratulations on all your success and welcome to the show, Michael.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here. It's kind of exciting.
Yeah, man, it's fun. We kind of talked before you came in, and it's like, have you been on a podcast? Podcasting is so popular now. Everybody's listening to all these short clips and podcasts, but before the podcasts were even around, you've been in development, and now you have the Steinberg Group. I'm going to read a little excerpt from your website, and then we're going to roll into it. So the Steinberg Group is headquartered here in St. Louis, Missouri. It's a real estate and development firm acquiring, designing, leasing, as well as managing entertainment and retail centers as a catalyst for positive change in cities across the United States. The president who we have here today, Michael Steinberg, is the creative leader behind the firm's endeavors. Over your career, you have assembled a portfolio of over 200 developments encompassing more than 45 million square feet of entertainment and retail space.
That's true.
Is that true?
That's very true. Thank you. Quite an introduction.
Yeah, man. I did my research. I like to read up on everybody that we have on. We feel like if you take the time to come and see us, we want to make sure that we at least read all that's possible. And you have your own website that has all this information. And then right. The Steinberg Group website's great. A lot of people know you in St. Louis for what you're doing at the district. But before we get into the district, I want to hear about your roots. I know you're not from this area. So tell us about kind of growing up. And
I grew up in Omaha, Nebraska. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because when I grew up there was about 250,000 people, a small little town, that's famous for one guy, Warren Buffett.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of famous people that came out of, Omaha. Mm-hmm. And now there's over a million people. But the small town, kind of a metropolitan Midwestern bringing up was an outstanding way to grow up. Mm-hmm. And, I learned a lot. It was back in the era in the 50s and 60s. I'm a little older than you, Luke. And, it was just, it was a nice way to grow up. A lot of values that I still take with me today. Mm-hmm. And it was just a nice way to grow up.
Mm-hmm. So 50s and 60s in Omaha, I mean, like you said, Warren Buffett, who's still doing his thing.
I was lucky. I did get to deliver his newspapers. I remember meeting him on several occasions. I knew his nephew that went to school with me, but mm-hmm. more importantly, I knew his kids. They didn't go to school with me.
Yeah.
But it was always at Christmas, he'd have a dollar. Mm-hmm. And you get to the door, and he'd say, what are you going to do with that dollar? And he said, I would invest it. And of course, I was kind of a husky kid, and I couldn't wait to get to the drugstore to buy as much candy as possible. And I remember
with his dollar?
With that dollar. And I bought a lot of candy back then.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing him several years ago, and he said, you did okay for not investing that dollar.
Yeah. That's pretty special. Like I read a lot about him too. I'm into investing and very frugal for how much money he has. And his kids had to learn it all. And
yeah, you know, I grew up with that same type of mentality,
right,
with my father. Unfortunately, he passed away when I was 13. But he taught us the value of not the dollar, but what you can do with the dollar and how you can make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And he also taught us the work ethic and that your word is your bond.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really what growing up in Omaha, Nebraska, especially, you know, I was born in 54, so everybody now knows I'm 70.
Yeah. It's a big birthday.
It is a big birthday coming up. And it was just a great way to get values. And I mm-hmm. still, you know, think about that and how lucky I was to grow up mm-hmm. with a family that had values. And in a place like Omaha, Nebraska.
And you can live that out, and now you're in St. Louis. So I kind of want to lead that into what drove you to a career in real estate and development. When did you start that? How did you end up in St. Louis? Tell us about that story.
Okay, so, you know, it's kind of interesting. So, as I mentioned, my father passed away, and I grew up in a house of, I think, 1,421 square feet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, two bathrooms for four kids and two parents, and Not a lot of room, and that included the basement. They included the square footage in the basement.
Wow. So it was like more like 700 square feet.
Well, probably 1,100.
Yeah. Wow.
You know, so it wasn't very big, and you know, it was interesting. so you know, I always had to work, mm-hmm. and I knew that I didn't want to be poor, but I also wanted to know that I could do something to make the world a better place. And I'll give you a little story. So, growing up in Omaha, go Big Red. Nebraska football, that was
Cornhuskers,
the Cornhuskers, yeah.
Football, you know, basketball.
You know,
the,
as they say, the Nebraska stands for knowledge. I'm kidding. Yeah, you know.
Right.
And so I wanted this red coat. Mm-hmm. I'll never forget this. I'm 10 years old, and I wanted a red coat.
Mm-hmm.
And for simplicity and multiplying ways, mm-hmm. let's say it was $10. So my dad said he'd pay me 25 cents an hour. And he had the sixplex, and I went and cleaned basements for 40 mm-hmm. hours, $10. I'm thinking, I'm golden. You know, mm-hmm. Friday afternoon comes, and he comes in, and he says, it's time to settle up. I said, great. I'm thinking Monday morning, I'm going to go get that red coat, because, you know, on Sundays, the stores were closed. So.
Mm-hmm.
So he comes in and takes 10 $1 bills out of his pocket, lays five in a pile and five in another pile. And I'm looking at him, and he says, where would you like to start? I said, sir. I used to call him sir. Where would you like to start? He said, okay, these five are for you. And I'm thinking to myself, well, the coat's $10. This isn't going well. And he says, you know, the three, we're partners. You like the roof over your head? You like the food on the table? You like the fact that we drive you around? Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. There's your 50%.
At 30%. Then he says, you know, us Jewish people, you know, the Torah,
mm-hmm.
said, you know, they say you give 10% what you make as a tzedakah, charity. And he says, but we're not a 10% family. We're a 20% family. So thank you. So, of course, at 10 years old, you know, I get up, go upstairs and start crying.
Yeah.
Get underneath the bunk beds. And he said to me, you got a choice. You can sit here and cry all night, or get up and we can go to the synagogue, and you can take that $2 for the tzedakah and work another 40 hours. And I had I'm thinking about this. I didn't get right up. So mm-hmm. I did it. And, you know, that's the upbringing I have. Mm-hmm. You know, so.
And you still take that same tenacity.
I do. I do. You know, and, you know, you can't quit. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you lost. I didn't lose, but I did. Mm-hmm. I felt like I lost.
Yeah.
And so, you know, all through high school, I worked and I was going to go to Stanford. And a buddy of mine said to me, "You want to go visit Arizona State?" I said, "Sure." Mm-hmm. It's February. Needed someone to drive with them. And, you know, I needed a scholarship because mm-hmm. I had no money.
Right.
We had no money.
Mm-hmm. And your dad had already passed away. So you're working, your family's, that's a lot of kids for one parent.
I didn't grow up poor.
Yeah. You know, that's all you knew at that moment.
Right,
you didn't have the internet to see what everybody else is doing.
I still felt like when I went out, I had to think about what I was going to spend. I had some friends that had some significant resources.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went to Arizona State, liked the weather, saw those good-looking girls, and I figured, you know, I can, so I went to the office and they gave me a better scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
So I went there and I met one of my best friends still today, Nate Nathan. And the only reason I saw him is he drove in with a Mustang.
Yeah.
I said, "There's going to be my new friend." I took a Greyhound bus down there with the big, you know, big locker.
And he had the glossy Mustang, something.
So that's how I got there. It was a great education. The business school was great. You know, I majored in finance and economics. I was going to go to law school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had and then I had a job offer from Gulf Oil, the oils, you know, the mobile of that time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd have to move to LA. And they offered me $2,000 a month. Now, this was like someone telling me I was going to make $500,000 a year. This was more
when
money.
When was this?
1972.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, so that was a good salary then, 24 grand a year.
This is a lot of money.
Yeah.
So I said,
right out of college.
Right out of college.
Yeah.
And I was going to get in their training program. You know, I did well in school. Mm-hmm. I guess I interviewed well. And about 2 months before that, my college roommate, Nate, and I went out and started selling mobile home sites.
Mm-hmm.
And we sold 4 right off the bat. Mm-hmm. I made $4,000. Mm-hmm. He made $4,000. The mobile home park made $8,000. Mm-hmm. I said, "Nate, we need to get into real estate. I don't even know how to spell a real estate." So I was telling my mom this, and she said, "Well, your dad has a fifth cousin in Kansas City, and you should go interview with him." So I call him up, and it's January. Now, I've said to the Gulf Oil, you know, I'm thinking about it. And they said, "Well, you have till February to make a decision.
Mm-hmm.
We'd really like you." So I go there in January. I meet this guy, Irv Mazlish, and I'm just like, wow, this is the guy I got to go work for.
Mm-hmm. And this was in Kansas City?
In Kansas City.
Okay.
Close to home still, too. Yeah,
yeah.
And I want to get back to the Midwest. I'm trying to figure out how to do all this. And it was crazy, but he wouldn't return my calls.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to see how bad. And just 2 weeks ago, I found out why he wanted to hire me. So he asked me a question, I don't remember, but his daughter, who I still remained in touch with, she was like 16 at the time, says, "You know, my dad came home after interviewing you and said he's never met anybody he wants to hire more, but he's not going to call you back for 30 days to see how bad you want the job." And so I said, "What made him want to hire me?"
Mm-hmm.
And he asked me a question, "How much money do you want to make?" And I said, "You can't make enough money, nor can you give enough money away."
Mm-hmm.
And that blew him away. And he said to his kids at the dinner table, "I met the guy that's going to be the next rock star."
Mm-hmm.
So after 30 days, he finally said, "Okay, I'm going to hire you. And you start June 1st. And we have no draws, commission only."
Mm-hmm.
I said, "I'm in." Now, here I'm giving up a job of $2,000.
Yeah.
To get a draw, no draw,
zero. Yeah.
But I'm a risk taker. And I figured, you know what?
Yeah.
I'm a smart person. I can figure this out. I can really make this work.
Mm-hmm.
So do I show up June 1st? No. I show up May 15th.
Mm-hmm.
I said, "Irv, I'm here." And I had hair down to hair.
Mm-hmm.
I did.
Yeah.
And he said, "Okay." And yep, exactly. he took me and I got a number 3. Buzz shot. And he says, "How do you feel?" I said, "You know, I feel really good about
myself."
You
were in Arizona living like a rock star, and then you get to the Midwest.
Yeah, and I'm like, and so that's how I got in the real estate business.
Yeah. Were you guys doing residential?
Is that what you guys commercial. Were doing?
Commercial.
Commercial real estate. And
okay.
The,
leasing buildings,
yeah,
selling
leasing
buildings.
And managing. And mm-hmm. my first year, I really hit it out of the park. I made $2,290.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The second year, I made $7,900. Now, here, I'm thinking to myself, I could have been making $2,000 a month. Mm-hmm. And finally, someone, a gentleman named Gray Turner, says to me, "You're the smartest kid we know. Mm-hmm. Shut up. God gave you one mouth, two ears. Just shut up. Mm-hmm. And when you don't know, say you don't know." Mm-hmm. And that led me on to a string of probably 15 to 20 mentors in my life mm-hmm. that took an interest in me, that said, "Quit being a dumbass.
Mm-hmm.
Just yeah. quit, you know." And when you did something dumb, they'd look at you and say, "That's really dumb."
Yeah.
So from there, I met a guy named H. Webb Blessley here in St. Louis. Mm-hmm. I wasn't living here. I moved into St. Louis in 1983, and I started doing McDonald's deals. And from that, I met Sam Walton, mm-hmm. small guy in Bentonville, Arkansas.
Yeah, I know.
met the Godfather Pizza guy, mm-hmm. Willie Thiessen in Omaha, the Taco Bell people, the Payless Shoe people.
So you were
people.
Selling the McDonald's deals, like the land that they were selling to
yeah,
build
McDonald's?
Yeah, I was
the broker. I was the broker.
Okay. I watched the movie, The Founder.
Yeah, right. I met Ray Kroc.
Yeah.
So I got lucky. This mm-hmm. H. Webb was just like Robin Williams.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like the greatest thing that ever happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
And he took time to explain to me. And still today, I have a legal pad.
Yeah.
And I put the top three things I don't want to do every day I get out of bed on the top of the list.
Mm-hmm.
And
the three things you don't want to do.
Okay. So I do them first. Get them out. Get them. Don't just check the box.
Yeah.
Get them done.
Mm-hmm.
And
the three hardest things, the things that give people anxiety, just get those out of the way and then focus on
move on
stuff.
The positive. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was a great mentor.
Mm-hmm.
And I met more people because of him, and it was really unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
So I moved here in 1983, because the office of Leo Eisenberg,
mm-hmm.
and by that time I had moved up. Mm-hmm. You know, I had an ownership.
You were 10 years in then at that point?
In 83, I was 8 years in.
Yeah.
And I was doing really well. And they said, "Do you want to run an office?" Well, mm-hmm. what do I know about running an office?
Right.
I've been to St. Louis maybe a handful of times. My sister went to Wash U. I have really smart siblings. And she went to Wash U to get her doctorate in occupational therapy.
Yeah, so you visit her a few
times.
And,
and I'd never been. So mm-hmm. I came here and, I saw the guy at McDonald's a couple times, but didn't spend any time. And then I moved here and I'll never forget, this was July of 1983. I didn't move until November. And 270 and 70 were under construction. I was in a cab
mm-hmm.
with no air conditioning in July. And I thought, man, I'm not sure this is what I signed up for.
Right.
But I did it. I moved here, and I wouldn't live anywhere else.
Yeah.
I really like St. Louis.
That's great. You mentioned mentorship, and I have this question I always ask a lot of people that have been in business. You know, I'm 28 years old. I started my business when I was 24. I finally put myself on my own payroll this last year. It was 3 years of not making anything. Now, of course, I was using the business funds to pay for necessities, but people don't really realize that delayed gratification that it takes to really be successful. You could have took that $2,000 job. You probably would have retired 25 years ago, and you would have had a decent retirement, but you would have never been able to give what you wanted to give to the people. So tell us about mentorship and what that means.
You bring up a good thing, you know. As I tell people, there's a story I read, you know, the 10,000 hours
of practice.
You got to practice. Yep. That's 3 to 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Beatles, before they played a concert, practiced 10,000 hours.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't play mm-hmm. any concert.
Yeah. Wow.
And you know what? It took me 3 to 5 years to get there. So people, you know, today everybody wants to hit that button, says I sent it or I texted it mm-hmm. or I emailed it. And, it's just... You got to want it. You mm-hmm. got to show up on time. You know, I got here today right on time. You know, I hate being late.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a saying, you can't put a pencil through the phone.
Yeah.
You got to go meet the people, look at them, mm-hmm. talk to them. You got to want it.
Yeah.
And you know what? I say my favorite saying to everybody is, I work every day that ends in why.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, I really like working. It's not work. I've dug ditches before.
Mm-hmm.
I've been a brick tender on scaffolding.
Mm-hmm.
I've done all that. I did groceries. I worked at McDonald's peeling potatoes and doing the slicing.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to be poor.
Yeah.
I just didn't want to be poor. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't the money. You know, I knew if I did a good job, mm-hmm. the money would come.
Yeah.
The money never leads the deal. Mm-hmm. And I always tell people that. Mm-hmm. And you really have to have the desire.
Yeah.
And you have to put yourself in the other person's position and understand them. And all these mentors from Gray Turner to Arvin Gottlieb to Leo Eisenberg to Irv Maeslisch to I.E. Milstein to Tommy Green, mm-hmm. you know, lots of these people took time. And you know what? I didn't go to them and ask them what they should do. I asked them, I explained what I was doing and say, mm-hmm. give me suggestions on how I can do better. Mm-hmm. There's people here in this town like Don Sofer. Name not many people know. Mm-hmm. Without him, I'm nothing. I met mm-hmm. him in 1984. Mm-hmm. And you know what he said? You're going to be a rock star. Shut up.
Right. I like that.
You know, that's, and so yeah. it's just a matter. And you know mm-hmm. what? I lived mm-hmm. very, you know, I still don't live very high on the hog because I don't need to, mm-hmm. you know? I mean, we can only put one pair of pants on at a time.
Yeah.
And that's just who I am.
That's true. You don't realize how much you don't need. And mentorship's a huge thing. I've been lucky to have a lot of great mentors in St. Louis that have really poured into me. But you're absolutely right. These people are busy people. I need to ask direct questions and get direct answers. I can't just be like, hey, what should I do? You got to say, hey, I'm dealing with this issue right now. Like,
right. Can you tell
what would
me,
you do?
What would you do? Get, yeah. you know, but, you know, and then a lot of them would say, what would you do? And I'd explain it. And yeah. it's a back and forth. I still have a mentor.
Yeah.
I don't call him a mentor. I call him my senior advisor.
Of course, yeah.
A guy out of Denver. He's yeah. 82 years old.
Yeah.
He's 12 years older.
Yeah.
But you know what? I talk to him 4 or 5 times a week at 5:30 in the morning. Mm-hmm. And you know what? He'll tell me if something doesn't feel right. Mm-hmm. Did you really think about that? He won't, you know, he won't say, I would do this.
Yeah.
Think about it. And mm-hmm. that's what you need. And everybody is so in a hurry. Mm-hmm. What are we all in a hurry for?
Right.
And I try to take time to help people myself. Mm-hmm. I probably have 15 to 20 people in St. Louis mm-hmm. that I've sat down with.
Yeah.
And all I ask them to do is show up on time. Mm-hmm. And we got 30 minutes. What I mean, we're not here to kumbaya. Let's get to what we're here for and mm-hmm. how we can make a difference.
And these are people that you pour into.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. That's what I was going to ask next. Right. You have
yeah.
those people.
Yeah. And I do. And, mm-hmm. you know, and again, back to my dad, he taught me about giving forward. Mm-hmm. You know, as I say, it's beyond the bricks.
Yeah.
That's what I call it. It's beyond the bricks yep. because, okay, I got the bricks. That's mm-hmm. great. Mm-hmm. But what can we do beyond that? How can we help someone to make a difference? And you don't have to write. Mm-hmm. the $1 million check. Mm-hmm. We have 3 T's in our lives, time, talent, and treasure. Mm-hmm. You got time. Everybody gets 24 hours in a day.
Yeah.
Everybody has talent. I don't care. Some worry, and you got some treasure.
Yeah.
So that's how I look at it. And, you mm-hmm. know, as I said, without these great mentors mm-hmm. that I learned from each of them, I wouldn't be who I am. In fact, I probably wouldn't be sitting here. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember when I was 16 years old, a friend of mine up in Omaha's dad said, you know, slow down.
Yeah.
You're going down the wrong path. Mm-hmm. You know, most kids would say, oh, okay. But
just a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Be like, oh, I'm just a kid. I need to mess up. But the longevity, you know, I compare it to sports. I don't know if you're a big sports guy, but you look at the Tom Brady's and the LeBron James and the Wayne Gretzky's, they just played longer and better, but just more consistent. There were sometimes you know, there was I'm, people that were better. There was people that, were, but they just were more consistent.
I have
in that longevity.
I have 2 baseball stars.
Yeah,
and I love coaches. You know, Belichick and Phil Jackson, and
Nick Saban's another good one.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. And you know, George at the Spurs. Mm-hmm. I have two baseball
or Popovich.
Players.
Popovich. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Pop.
Yeah.
Pete Rose, the greatest mm-hmm. singles hitter ever. Forget the gambling issue.
Yeah.
The highest paid baseball player hitting singles. All I want to do is hit a single. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm not interested.
Tony Gwynn was another one, too.
Right, yeah. right. And
not a big home run guy, you know.
You know, because if you get on base, you might get home. Mm-hmm. But the other guy was Cal Ripken.
Yeah.
Showed up every single
like 3,000 games in a row.
2,663.
Yeah. Sheesh.
You know?
Nobody's ever going to do that again.
Never.
Not even close.
I mean, never.
Nobody will get 1,000 games
but,
in a
but,
row.
But, you know, but Babe Ruth, even though he hit 714 home runs.
Yeah.
He struck out 1,777 times. Mm-hmm. I'd rather hit a single.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how I was. I'm a baseball player. I wasn't a big power guy. I'm not a big guy, but you're right, in business, it's everybody wants these big articles, these big splashes. You're doing the big things now, but it took 150, it took 3,000 hits to get your big district where it's like, hey, this is this big thing.
Even when I do that.
But even that is still little tiny projects.
Right. I don't look at it as a big win.
Right.
I just look at it as another opportunity to get to play the game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't look at, you know, I don't get too high. I don't get too low on these things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sure, I've had success,
mm-hmm.
but how did I get there?
Right.
I got to remember how I got there, and don't let success go to your head. I always tell everybody, mm-hmm. don't watch the other team practice.
Mm-hmm.
Watch yourself. Yeah. You're good.
Yeah. Humble, being humble is a huge thing, but I want to talk a little bit about paying it forward. You mentioned that a little bit in those, and it's a quote that reads on your website. It's in quotations, paying it forward. What does that mean to you, and how do you live that out each year? Because you're doing things every year. I mean, you have your own foundation, and tell us about what paying it forward means to you.
Paying it forward means helping people so that they can understand how they can help other people and just make the world a better place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not about, you know, sure, I've done really well financially,
mm-hmm.
but that doesn't motivate me. I mean, as I said, how many pairs of pants do you need?
Right.
You can only put one leg on at a time.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and what I really want to do is show other people to set the bar so they can inspire them to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're all lucky. You know, mm-hmm. if you think about the Ukraine, you know, you think about the Palestinian situation,
mm-hmm.
you think about what's going on in South America. I mean, the immigration, I don't care what side of the aisle
mm-hmm.
you're sitting on. Yeah. These are terrible things.
Exactly.
And we're so lucky.
Mm-hmm.
How hard is it? So a lot of times, you know, I mean, I was at Starbucks the other day of all places. I go every morning.
Mm-hmm.
And a guy was just screaming at the barista.
First thing in the morning?
First thing.
Yeah.
My coffee's not hot. I said, sir, you're having a bad day. Let me buy you whatever's in the case and whatever kind of coffee you want. And he looked at me. I said, yeah, really? I want you to have a good day.
Yeah.
And then when you feel that maybe you weren't completely right, could you reverse your stand?
Yeah.
So now I see him at the Starbucks, and he said, you've changed my life. That little thing
yeah.
makes me the happiest. Or just
right.
doing something nice for someone. It yeah. doesn't, you know, I mean, this is just how I was brought up.
Yeah.
And it's hard to instill that. But this is all my money, all my time. And, mm-hmm. you know, I have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I tell everybody I'm turning 70 in a month, and I tell everybody I have 30 years left. And then I'll retire.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I just kind of like it. It's yeah. kind of fun.
Yeah, somebody put it into perspective about instead of saying 30 years, let's say you are going to live to 100. You got 30 summers left. What are you going to do on those summers? Who are you going to spend it with?
Right.
You know, and that's why being with family is so important, because sometimes somebody only sees their family one time a year. Okay, well, if you think you're going to live 30, you're only going to have to hang out with them 30 more times.
Right.
So it's
right.
like you start thinking of things like that. And,
right.
And I get excited and energized being 28 because I just feel like I have so much more resource. Like time is the biggest resource.
Well, yeah, right.
You know, you would buy back to be 28. A lot of people would pay a lot of money to be there.
I say to a lot of people, you can have my money. Can I have your age?
Yeah.
You know,
that the time is everything, and having a child puts that into perspective.
Oh, absolutely.
And it really, really does. But yeah, I think it's been amazing. I mean, you guys can check out his website to look at a lot of the things, but just being able to give back to things that have been impactful in your life. Was there anything specific that was like a moment where you're like, you felt like really, really good? Like, hey, that means a lot to me. I'm going to give back to that organization.
You know, I'll tell you, it's the fact that, you know, one of the things that I always wanted to do is help other kids. I grew up with people helping me. How mm-hmm. do I help other kids? And
mm-hmm.
and that's, you know, one of the things I like to do.
You started at the root. That's when they don't have a choice in where they live, what their
you know, think about it. If you can't read by third grade, you're 60% more chance to go to jail.
Mm-hmm.
You know, think about that. You know, at least I had the opportunity
yeah.
to go to school,
mm-hmm.
public school. I thought it was great.
Yeah.
And teachers took an interest in me. And so there was no aha moment, but, you know, I watched these other people
mm-hmm.
give money, give time and talent to these. And I said, you know, I can do that.
Yeah.
And about 25 years ago, Tommy Green of Blessed Memory and I.E. Mostone of Blessed Memory came to see me and said, okay, you can't give anonymously anymore. You have to show people that you're doing this. It's not because your ego's there.
Mm-hmm.
but you have to show them and inspire them. And that's exactly really what I'm trying to do. There was no aha moment. My biggest aha moment is when I met the guy from McDonald's in business.
Mm-hmm.
That's
what changed your life there.
Boom.
Yeah.
You know, because his first question to me, when I called him on the phone at 8 o'clock in the morning, I'll never forget this, on a Monday morning, I said, I want to do your deals. And he said, well, how many restaurant deals have you ever done? And I said, none. He said, at least you can tell the truth. Yeah. And from that meeting, that guy, H. Webb Blessley, changed my life.
Yeah.
You know, he showed me how to do business, how to think about business, how to treat people. You know, I had a contract with Sam Walton for an outparcel. And I said, Mr. Walton, what do you want for it? And of course, he said, well, what do you think it's worth? And being from Nebraska, I said, the value of the oats is what the farmer thinks the oats are worth. Mm-hmm. He loved that. I read up about him.
Yeah. That's good, because he's an Arkansas guy.
Yeah, he is. He was a big – well, he's from really Columbia, Missouri.
A New York or a California guy couldn't do that.
Couldn't do that.
Yeah.
So he said, I want $65,000. And I told Webb Blessley, and he said, no, we're not going to pay him $65,000. We're going to pay him $70,000, so we exceed his expectation. And that led to me doing over 200 Walmart deals.
Yeah.
And I'm probably not going to be real popular about saying this, but I wouldn't have met Stan Kroenke, who was my partner for 22 years.
Yeah.
And if he walked in the door today, I'd say thank you and shake his hand.
Yeah.
Okay?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But if you exceed people's expectations, going back to what I said, the money never leads to deal.
Right.
The deal leads to
money.
You
took a little bit of a haircut the first time, a $5,000 haircut that resulted in multiple seven figures. You know?
Absolutely.
So,
and I was never worried about that.
No, absolutely. Yeah, the Walton, I mean, the incredible story. They're still doing incredible things out in Arkansas. And you mentioned Kroenke too. I mean, doing like all this land, all these things, and all these different real estate deals. But real estate, you know, commercial, you know, you guys went through a big change.
And, oh, it's huge.
I mean, a lot of you guys got hurt, you know, I'm sure, over the past three, four years.
Oh, it's, you know, but you got to understand the fundamentals. You know, real estate is not a commodity.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these kids think you hit a button, they sell, boom, 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 you know. But to create value, to really is to hold it and enhance it.
Yeah.
And I tell everybody that. You just can't go in, you know.
And flip it. Just flip
it.
Flip
it. And, you know,
everybody wants to flip.
Flip, and make a quick dollar. And, you know, but that's not how you create value.
Yeah.
And as, you know, I remember being 22, and I'd always say, I'm in for sweat equity. That's cute. That's really cute.
Yeah,
but
it's,
you know. Yeah, I know, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah,
you,
we do that on a lot of stuff. Yeah. Hey, I'm going to work harder than everybody.
That's
right.
Yeah. And that's great. But when you have some money, you got to show some skin.
Exactly.
And that's what I tell everybody. And look, I've made a lot of bad deals. Mm-hmm. And after I make a bad deal, what did I do wrong? I sit down with myself, and usually on Sundays, I take an hour and do a self-analysis of what happened this week, what happened before, you know, dumbass, what did you do, you know? How did you do better?
Yeah.
And I never celebrate major wins, nor do I celebrate major losses. But I say, okay, I won today.
Mm-hmm.
I won.
Yeah.
How did I win?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have the, you know, the three W's, the why, the we, and the when.
Mm-hmm.
What's a win mean to you might mean something to me.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's why I like Bill Belichick. Even when he won the Super Bowl, maybe a day, back at it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I write win the day. I still write down on an actual same pad that you're talking about. I write down my to-do list, and I just put win the day. And I'm super invested in the law of attraction and all these different things of putting out what I want to have. And sometimes it's simple as making a power list of those five things. I won the day. If you complete those
right
three
on the floor.
Times.
Yeah, my legal.
If you complete those three things, you know, we'll pull out. But like if I complete, my list is a little bit bigger now. But, you know, if I complete this to-do list, I won that day. That's it.
Well, I have the same thing on the floor.
Yeah, so that's it. That's it.
I have a yellow pen. Come on, get it. Get it out. What is it, 11 by 17? That's what I have, 11.
Yeah.
And I've used it for
idea.
Forever.
Because everybody wants to do these Google Sheets, and there's something I just don't feel the same. Like, I wrote these down. If I would have wrote these down, I would have remembered it, the questions, and I would be able – there's something about writing something down.
I do, yeah.
If you know Tecovas, you know that they make some of the best and most comfortable Western boots around. But what you might not know is that Tecovas has a store right here in St. Louis at Plaza Frontenac. Stop into their store, and you'll find the finest handmade cowboy boots, jeans, belts, cowboy hats, and even apparel for both men and women. While you shop, enjoy complimentary drinks, boot shines, custom hat and boot branding, and more. Come visit the Tecovas store at Plaza Frontenac and let them help you find your new favorite pair of boots or your first pair of boots ever. Tecovas, don't go gently. But I want to talk, you know, a little bit about Chesterfield.
Okay.
I'm a St. Louis guy, you know, grew up a couple exits past where you guys had all that going. And I remember it being a few different things, you know, and it was this area, you know, Chesterfield's this booming area. Now it's an entertainment district, you know, and what was that vision like? Tell us about the district. Tell us about what that project.
Well, let me give you the little history.
Yeah.
So I was lucky to have Walmart come to me and say in 1985, 86, we're going to go to St. Louis before they went to all the rural areas.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm running around trying to find sites here in St. Louis for Walmart. And of course, they wanted to be by the mall.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't get Lou Sachs to do anything. We're not interested. We're not here. We're not there.
Mm-hmm.
And so 1993 comes along.
Mm-hmm.
And the great flood. And I'm sitting on the bridge by the Doubletree overlooking the flood. And I had my father-in-law of blessed memory. And he said, "This is terrible." I said, "No, there's a lot of opportunity."
Yeah.
And he looked at me and said, "What are you talking about?" So I called Lou Sachs.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't do much with me.
Right.
Not being mean. Yeah. So I called I.E. Millstone. And I didn't realize that I.E. and Lou's dad, Sam, were business partners.
Mm-hmm.
So he got on the phone and said, "Lou, I'm coming out to see you. I'm in a meeting." He says, "I don't care."
Mm-hmm.
And I found out that I lent Lou all the money for all the ground in Chesterfield.
Mm-hmm.
So we walk in and he looks at him and says, "Lou, meet your new friend, Mr. Steinberg.
Mm-hmm.
I expect you to help him." And from that moment on, Lou Sachs went to the city and said, "I don't want to buy the mall, but we'll." And I assembled 400 acres down in the valley,
mm-hmm.
and I built Chesterfield Commons. It's the longest shopping center
mm-hmm.
in America, 2 miles long.
Wow.
And it's about 1.8, 1.9 million square feet.
Mm-hmm.
One of the largest.
Yeah, it's huge.
Right. So mm-hmm. I built that starting in 95. I started. I opened
so this
the
is
first
on the other side.
Boom. No, this is, yes, on the other side
yeah,
of
yeah,
the
yeah.
district.
Where
yeah.
all the restaurants are now and where you see.
40 outparcels, yeah. Walmart,
Yeah. Everything's over there.
So about 10, 12 years ago, Billy and Bobby Taubman called me and said, "We have this land where the Taubman Outlet Center went under contract, and we need to tap into your sewer. We want to get to the interchange." And we met and we shook hands. I said, "There's four things I need to have." And they said, "Fine."
Mm-hmm.
And we shook hands. Well, another developer came and offered me a lot of money not to honor that agreement. And I just looked at him and I said, "Look, my word, I don't have anything signed, but my word is my bond."
Exactly. Going back to what your dad said.
Right.
Yeah.
So they opened the center in 2017, 2018.
Mm-hmm.
I go to the ICSC and, you know, again, I like to show up on time.
Yeah.
I get there 8:05 and there are my friend Billy and Bobby Taubman sitting in my booth. I said, "Boys, how y'all doing? What brings you over? Do you have a couple minutes so we can talk? Our outlet center is doing terrible. We want to sell it to you." I said, "Well, I have no idea. What am I going to do
mm-hmm.
with this 400,000 feet? Of, you know, these aren't the type of tenants I do business with."
Mm-hmm. So, these more smaller
buildings. Or Walmarts. Or, you know, these are outlet center tenants.
Yeah.
This isn't.
Yeah, you don't have the contacts there.
Yeah, this isn't the world I play in. So
right.
We reach an agreement. I fly to New York, and we reach an agreement, shake hands, and I said, "I'm just going to de-mall it," meaning get rid of all the tenants.
Mm-hmm.
So I come up with this brilliant idea of entertainment long before anybody else is doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we get Topgolf to come out there, we get Main Event,
mm-hmm.
and I say to myself, "I like music. Yeah. I can't sing. I can't write.
Mm-hmm.
There's no good music venue in St. Louis. The Pageant when it started off, but, you know, no parking, kind of a area. You know, it's hard to get to. People aren't feeling safe.
Yeah.
I'm going to build a music venue. So I call two or three people in St. Louis who are in the music business, and they say that's the dumbest idea I've ever heard.
To put one in the middle of the suburb.
Right. Yeah. Dumb. Stupid.
It's been popping. I drive by it all the time.
Stupid. So I said, okay. And about 3 weeks later, Brian Karp, and I knew his mother from Barnes Jewish Hospital. She was in the development department. She said, would you interview my son? Sure. You know, I'll let her, and my door is open. Mm-hmm. I'll meet everybody. Mm-hmm. I said, so what do? I'm in the music business. I said, really? I said, what do you think about that? And he looked at me and says, I'm not sure it'll work. Yeah. I called someone here and I said, look, I interviewed some kid, because he is a kid. Now he's 40 years old. Okay. And I said, would you hire him and tell me, I'll pay his half his salary. You pay half his salary and tell me if he's any good. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, I said, Brian, let's go across the country. And we looked at 15 to 20 different music venues.
Right.
I'd never done this before. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to get the best. So I had this idea. Mm-hmm. Who's the customer of the music venue? Mm-hmm. Of the factory. Who do you think the factory's customer is?
Younger people, probably, or no?
The artist.
Oh, the artist, yeah.
If you get the artist,
you'll get the people.
You get the people.
So you need the best amenities for them.
And, that's right. Yeah.
And so you guys do. I've been backstage because I did the wing ding. I was competing in the wing ding. I'm like, dude, I feel like you had showers back there, the best of the best, parking, all that. Yeah.
It's 2 hours versus 8 hours to load. And so
they fly in Chesterfield sometimes when they're flying private. Right. And they go across the street. Yeah.
And so I knew that would be the customer. Mm-hmm. That was who I was going for. Mm-hmm. And I copied everything. Now, sure, I would do some little things different, not major, but I really spent a lot of time on the materials, on the lighting, the sound. Mm-hmm. And that's how it started. So today we have the district. And, you know, people say, well, why'd you call it the district? It can be an entertainment district. It can be a shopping district. Mm-hmm. It can be an eating district.
Yeah.
And so we trademarked the name the district STL.
Yeah, I noticed that. And you have the two anchors. You got Topgolf and Factory.
Right.
And now you got Four Hands in the middle.
It's called the Hub.
Yeah, the Hub.
And I always believe in names that are simple.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we open Four Hands. We have Norwell's coming. We have a sushi place.
Napoli Brothers is going to be
Napoli's
down there.
Napoli's coming.
Lit Cigar Lounge. Amazing.
Lit, right.
Best Cigar Lounge.
Right. In town.
Yeah.
We have Bike and Brews there now.
Mm-hmm. You have that game show place.
Game show, battle room, or whatever.
My aunt works at a hair salon over there. Right. Like now, it's just a mix. It's a good area to work and play. You know?
And ingress and egress is important. So to get into the shows, don't take any time. What I'm most proud of, it takes less than 15 minutes to get on the interchange.
Yeah. No, that's
after
true.
After a concert.
That's good to think about, because usually you're stuck in a big ramp. You know, you're stuck in a parking garage.
And it costs money. We don't charge for parking.
Yeah.
And we have
amazing
great security.
Place. Yeah.
And we have great lights. And you know, nobody waits for a drink. Nobody waits to use the restroom. Mm-hmm. All these things is what we thought about.
Those are all pain points that you witness probably when you go to shows.
I can't. It's hard for me to go to another venue now.
Yeah.
It really is. I have a hard time.
Yeah.
You know,
so you were heavily involved in the factory then.
Oh.
I didn't know if that was if tenant or that was a big project for you.
Yeah. There's no tenant. I'm the tenant.
Okay.
I was the tenant.
Okay.
And I spent a lot of time.
That makes sense.
And I do that on all my projects. Mm-hmm. You know, I drive everybody crazy because I'll sit there and I've been known to tear things down. I don't like. I mean, okay.
You're overspending. You're like, hey, you don't need to do that. Hey, tear it down. Redo it.
And I do that on purpose. And, you know, people say, what are you most proud of at the Commons?
Yeah.
It's now 25 years old. Mm-hmm. It looks great still.
Yeah, it really
does. You don't realize, but the bluff is over 300 feet up. Those storefronts are 50 feet.
Yeah.
Because if you would have built them 25 feet, it would have looked bad.
Yeah, the Sky Zone used to be up back behind
right,
there.
Right, it's still there.
Oh, it is? Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay, yeah, I went there when I was a kid. So those Chesterfield is kind of this home base for you, and it just happened by opportunity, you know. It happened by
because of the flood.
Some water there that people were scared of.
And I'm proud that I built the interchange. This is the first architecture. I built the interchange. This is a private interchange.
Yeah, right there at Boone's Crossing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I kept the name. Mm-hmm. It was Boone's Crossing.
Yeah.
Why am I going to change history?
Right.
Everybody can remember Boone's Crossing.
Yeah. Right.
And we call it the Commons. So people,
yeah,
you know, we were the first one to call it the Commons. Now, of course, you couldn't trademark that, but now everybody has Commons.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, we really think about things like that. And I love art. You've never been to my office, you know, but I like visual things.
You guys did an art pop-up. Jennifer was invited me out to something you did at the district.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. She said you guys were really into art out there. So let me talk. So the district, this entertainment district, this is a lot more work than all your other projects.
Oh my gosh, yes.
And you were in your 60s when you started this.
Oh,
it's
yes.
Like normally people would be on the way out. You decided to do this project. Well, did you know how much work it was going to be when
no.
you started?
And
it?
I still have a lot of work because I go out there
yeah.
and I make sure we did a parking study. I understand all the things and
you guys
where
got
the pinch
a good
boys
parking
are.
Situation
right.
out there. Yeah.
And you know, it's like running the hub. What can we do better? What can we improve? What are people looking for? You know, this isn't just sitting in the back room counting the beans.
Mm-hmm.
This is actually running a business.
Yeah.
And I had at one time 7 different restaurant chains I was involved in.
Mm-hmm.
I broke even. I'm glad to break even. But I gotta tell you, it was the best experience. It taught me
working
how to
in
run
hospitality.
Things. Yes.
Yeah.
By far.
It's not the best business financially to be in, but it's the most, you get warts from it. You get some war wounds
right.
from it.
Right. You know, and I learned from every one of these people that I was in business with.
Yeah.
And it was really good.
Yeah.
So, no, but I mean, I like doing this and I can see things most people can't.
Yeah. That's colors. Interesting to be that sharp. You know, and Brian told me a story of just how accommodating you personally are to your tenants. It's you're not sending other people out. Brian said you walked through spaces with him to find him a perfect space with ventilation that worked perfectly because you just were trying to do it. You're bending over
partners.
Backwards for
we're
each
partners.
Person.
No different than the city. We're partners.
Yeah.
And, you know, as I tell everybody, you know, we're going to talk about the mall eventually here.
Mm-hmm.
But the city, they believe me.
Yeah.
You know, another group bought the mall and they said, we don't want to work with you.
Yeah.
I bought the mall. They want to work because
and the city was behind it.
Because I said, what have I done for 25 years here?
Yeah.
You know, people, you know, they thought in the district, they said, well, how's it going to turn out?
Mm-hmm.
I said, have I ever done anything that's never been perfect? They said, no. And you know what? I'll make it perfect.
Right.
You know, nothing is ever perfect, but, you know, I'm trying to make it. It's a win-win. You got, you know, all the, you know, it's like my grandfather had this quote, the 3 nickels.
Mm-hmm.
You get a nickel, I get a nickel, and one stays on the table. Everybody goes home happy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want the second nickel.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I felt. You know, you mentioned Brian. Brian, you had a problem with the, okay, we'll help you with the HVAC. We have an extra unit. You got it.
Yeah.
You want anything for it? No, because it's going to solve your problem. And of course, you know, it's a collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just not talk.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually doing the walk.
Right. Yeah, I've heard it not just from Brian, but from Kevin and all those guys. I mean, really. You know, and the craziest thing is you could have just bought the building and rented it out and marked a loss and, you know, picked up that asset. You bought this asset from those people and you're like, let me create the best entertainment district. And I think it goes up with any district in the Midwest. I mean, I don't know your research.
It's everywhere in the United States.
Right, everywhere. Okay.
You know, and I've been very selective.
Yeah. And people don't talk about that enough. They don't talk about the district. The magazines need to talk about this a little bit more. And I'm hoping this podcast will get to more people.
Hopefully they will. But on purpose, I haven't put all the I could have put a lot of different tenants in.
Yeah.
And I've been very selective. You know, Napoli.
A lot of local there. Yeah.
I wanted local.
Yeah.
You know, I live local, give local.
Yeah.
You know, you got to have local. There's no chains. And you know, okay, yeah, main event wasn't a chain.
Oh, House of Pain Gym. We didn't even talk about those guys.
The House of
Great Pain. Gym. And
right.
Incredible local family.
Right. Yeah. And so, I mean, I'm truly trying to make it a local.
You could have threw a club or you could have threw a Planet Fitness in there,
right.
You know, anything.
Yeah. So that's really what I try to do.
Yeah. And that makes it harder because, you know, but luckily you're in a spot in your career when, you know, not that it's a passion project, but everything has to have passion for it to be successful.
Well,
what gets you up at 5 in the morning to talk to your advisor? You got to be passionate about what you're doing.
I'm passionate about a lot of things, but I want to do the right thing. And again, I still am never worried about making money.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to lose money. Okay.
Yeah.
There's a difference.
Yeah.
But I'm not looking to hit that home run. I'm just trying to hit that little single. Me and Petey Rose just trying to get on base.
What advice then would like, so somebody in my situation, 28, young family, like obviously we don't need to make millions of dollars, but like taking risks as a young entrepreneur, you know, when things are a little bit tighter, like what advice would you give to somebody like that?
Just save your money.
Yeah.
You know, you have a choice where to spend money, where to spend your time.
Yeah.
Spend your time with your kids.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy. Don't worry about the Joneses.
Yeah.
The Joneses you can never keep up with.
Yeah.
There's always someone richer.
Mm-hmm.
Warren Buffett's rich.
Yeah.
But there's people richer.
Yeah.
I don't think he's ever regretted that. And you don't count other people's money. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't matter that a guy drives this car or mm-hmm. that car. So
yeah.
I'm 25 years old. I finally made some money. Mm-hmm. I went out and bought a Porsche. And I don't forget that. I had it for a day. I took it back to the dealer.
Got your money back.
I said, no, I lost $1,500.
Just by driving it for
yeah,
a day.
One day.
Yeah.
And he said, and he said to me, I said, it's just not me.
Yeah. You feel right.
Who am I impressing? Mm-hmm. Who am I impressing?
Right.
You know, I just want to make sure that when I go to the hub and I go to the factory and I see things and, you know, I let the staff do their thing, but I'm walking around just, you know, seeing why didn't we have two extra bartenders if we knew we were going to sell these many tickets?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why didn't we open the doors earlier? So it says doors open at 6.
This huge line outside. Yeah.
Right. Come on. Mm-hmm. Let's think about this. And so, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, am I perfect? No. I'm hard.
Yeah.
I like to make good deals and yeah. I live by my word. If I'm, you know, and I expect other people.
Mm-hmm.
If you tell me you're going to do something, Brian's always, as you said, done yeah. what he said.
Yeah.
I'm good with that. And right. sure, there's situations that occur,
mm-hmm.
but you got to be fair.
Yeah. No, that's true. And I think one thing that I've learned is the over-delivering part, but really it's just, if I'm an entrepreneur right now, I'm 28, a lot of our younger generation that are my age aren't really competitors of me. There's not a lot of people doing interesting and hard things. So if you're one of those person, I'm already in the 1% because I'm trying to do something interesting.
Right.
So I'm already at an advantage. And the worst case that I can do is I can fail, but I fail every single day. Every year I'm failing.
You got to fail.
I'm failing all the time, right. But it feels so good. I used to do door-to-door sales. That was my first job when I was 16 over in O'Fallon, Missouri at a midtown home improvement company. And I would get no 97 times, but as long as I got 3 leads out of the 100 doors, I won. Just like baseball. All you got to do is get 3 hits out of 10 and you're a Hall of Famer. You know, so
right.
I think that failing excites me, mm-hmm. But celebrating the wins, I used to celebrate wins a lot and they were very small wins compared to what I do now. We'll sign a huge deal, a huge sponsorship, and then I just go back the same day. It's just really, it just helps me pay for my staff to have better things now at this point,
right.
you
no,
know,
and, yeah, right. And, you
and,
know, and
yes. now I can pay people more and take right. care of other families.
Right.
And, stuff.
And you yeah. say, you know, I just tell people mm. patience.
Yeah.
Patience. This is a long game. We're not in a sprint. Mm-hmm. We're in about a half a marathon.
So you don't think you'll retire ever?
No.
No? You just love it so much? Are you still working a full 40, 50-hour weeks?
I get up every morning at 4:40.
Okay. What's your morning routine?
Yeah, that's good. Well, I get up. I don't check my emails at night.
Okay. That's smart.
I mean, just
very smart.
I turn the phone off.
At what time?
When I go to bed.
Okay.
Just I have an old-fashioned alarm.
Okay.
Or my watch, you know. Yeah. And I get up at 4:40, 5 o'clock. I cheated today. I got up at 5:02.
Mm-hmm. Every day for the last however long? Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Make myself a cup of coffee. I look at my emails and say, okay, here's my list from last night. What am I going to try to get done today?
Mm-hmm.
Then I go up and spend a half an hour stretching. And then I either run, lift weights. Mm-hmm. Do something.
Mm-hmm.
Get on the Peloton.
Mm-hmm.
Have a little breakfast and go to the office.
Mm-hmm.
Or I try once a week to meet someone I have never met.
Okay.
Just cold call.
Mm-hmm.
Like to meet you.
Yeah.
And not someone in my business.
Mm-hmm.
And try to follow up and, you mm-hmm. know, remember and always try to remember people. You yeah. know, hey, how you doing? I haven't talked to you in a while. On the way over here, there was a guy that I hadn't talked to for about 6 months. He retired.
Mm-hmm.
He was shocked. What do you call? I'm not in the business. I said, that's okay.
Yeah.
Cup, I'd love to come see you when you get back. I know you're retired.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that means a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, Jesse Itzler, the guy that had the private plane company and his wife was the founder of Spanx. He talks about just simple text reach outs. Simple text 25 times a week. It's 5 a day. You're going to reach 600 people. And it could be, hey, just checking in on your family. I know your mom just passed. Like, people remember when people don't follow up when you
have
a loss.
I'm going to give you yeah. something that I teach every young man and woman.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You have a conversation. I never ask how you're doing. That doesn't mean anything.
Mm-hmm.
The last question I always ask people, what do you think that question is?
Are you happy?
No. How are your kids?
How are your kids?
How's your family?
Yeah, because that's you can tell how they're doing.
Because mm-hmm. that means something instead of just mm-hmm. flipping it off. But you try that with people, and I hope yeah. people listening here,
mm-hmm.
they do that. they'll remember you.
Yeah. And then you start remembering their kids' names, then
right.
Your wife's
and,
name.
Yeah. Right. That's, you know, yeah. It's not a, this isn't an AI world we live in. It is, but it isn't. But you know what I'm saying?
No, it really, you speaking of AI, like it had this huge jump, but people are right back to it. Just like after the panorama is what I call it. But people want to be around people. You're creating spaces. We don't want to be at home. We want to have connection. We want to connect.
Well, and that's what I like about the factory. If you think about it, our average ticket price is $55.
Which is great.
Nothing like that in town. Yeah. So you go two tickets, couple drinks. Mm-hmm. That's cheaper than going out to dinner.
Yeah. $130 bucks. Yeah.
Right. And. It's 2.5 to 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to create value. I thought about the value. Mm-hmm. Sure, now I could re-increase the ticket prices a lot more.
Yeah.
But I've told my group, no. Mm-hmm. And I take, and I want to make sure our drinks are right in the middle of all the drink prices.
Mm-hmm.
Not the high end, mm-hmm. not the low end.
Yeah.
Right in the middle.
Right. That's true. It's providing so much value. You're right. Like I was looking at concert tickets through one of the other websites. I mean, it's $200 a ticket to go anywhere.
Right.
And that's to sit in the bleachers.
Well, sure. Now we're going to have Goose, who, you know, that's a jam band. Okay. Yeah. I know who they are, but I really don't.
You had some big time people there. You had Lil Wayne there, which is one of the biggest rappers of all time.
Right. We've had a lot of people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But Goose is huge. Yeah. Okay. This is the smallest venue they're playing. Now I could have charged $500 a ticket.
Still sold out.
And sold out.
Mm-hmm.
My average price is $180.
Mm-hmm. But you look at it, and you're like, we're still making money. We're a business. Right. If I do this 4 times a week or 2 times a week, however many you're selling.
We're still doing really well.
Yeah, that's inspiring. So I like the morning routine stuff. It's really interesting, but I like the advice of asking people because business is important, but you can't always get something from somebody. You know, I wanted to have you on the podcast just because I'm inspired by what you built.
Thank you.
And hope that we can build something like that. And we built this digital community. But I want to talk about the mall. I don't really know what's going on in the mall. I wasn't able to find much on that.
Yeah, there's not much.
And okay, I just saw the construction going on.
No, and on purpose.
Yeah,
on purpose.
Yeah.
So, you know, again, I came in the reason I bought the mall, this is interesting. So I bought the district
mm-hmm.
and I went down with my associate, Tim Lowe, mm-hmm. and we met the related company, not related, Eddie Lampert's company, whatever it's called, mm-hmm. and we bought the Sears. I didn't want anybody to compete with me at the district for entertainment.
Yeah.
So if I had a seat
mm-hmm.
at the table.
Because you had that one property. Yeah.
Nobody could do anything without me.
Okay. That's smart. Yeah.
And
because that'd be another good area to do some stuff.
Oh, yeah. So I bought the Sears, and Tim Lowe, who has worked with me for 15 years, was the one who developed the AMC. He worked for CBL mm-hmm. in Westfield. And they never thought that the shopping center down the valley would do anything well. So he knew everything. So we mm-hmm. bought the Sears
mm-hmm.
and the Hall family out of Augusta, Georgia, comes in and buys the mall.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember Mr. Hall coming in and says, we'll be great partners. I said, Mr. Hall, we're not partners. Don't change anything. I won't approve anything.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need a partner.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked at me and he said, so for 2 years, he went to the city. The city said, you know. So finally, we bought it from him. Mm-hmm. And then we bought Macy's. And Dillard's is going to stay and reopen, which is great.
Yeah.
And, you know, we finally are almost done with everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's taken us 3 years.
Yeah.
But we have a plan that we listen to the citizens. We listen to the city officials. We listen to everybody. And what we want to do is build a downtown, not a mixed use, a downtown.
Mm-hmm.
We have as much ground as in Clayton.
Mm-hmm.
But we have a chance with a blank slate to put the right streets in, the right, like our sidewalks mm-hmm. are going to be 12 feet. You don't see that anywhere.
Right.
We're going to have the right landscaping. Behind the curb is 4 foot of landscaping.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things that...
Roundabouts, safety, right, slow driving.
Right. And, you know, just... And we have a... In the middle, we have a 3.5 acre park. Now, where do you mm-hmm. see in the middle of a downtown a 3.5? Shaw mm-hmm. Park's not in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's, but we're going to activate it.
Yeah.
And so, and what I'm happy is, you know, Jeff Tagahoff's done a nice job across street and Wild Horse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're doing a lot of stuff over there.
Right.
Yeah.
And so,
the outdoor,
you know, you got
the
YMCA, you got the amphitheater.
Some you know, condos.
Right. Yeah. Condos, houses, mm-hmm. a 17 acre lake.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can get on the bike trail that I built on top of the levee.
Mm-hmm.
It's 17 miles.
Yeah.
We're going to put pickleball courts in. I mean, we're going to create a walkable, livable downtown, not a mixed use. People say, well, it's a mixed use. No, it's a downtown. Mm-hmm. And I'm not in a hurry. And I think it's going to take anywhere from 5 to 10 years.
Okay.
And everybody's worried that, you know, we have zoning for 2,400 units. What's that mean? And it's just a piece of number. Mm-hmm. We might put that down. We might not. Mm-hmm. We might ask for more.
But in order to have a downtown, you need people to live there. It's like you live in Clayton.
Right.
You know,
right.
You don't want to live 5 miles away, so you have to drive. You want to walk. No.
And, you know, what's nice about this is we our drive study for 23 minutes from that intersection, there's 1.5 million people. It takes 25 minutes at the most to get to Lambert Field during traffic.
Yeah.
Less than 20 to get there.
Yeah.
It's nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you got a lot of employers there. So I'm excited. I really, you know, people say, well, what do you think?
What would you compare it to?
There's nothing like it in the United States.
Okay, because you mentioned Clayton. It's about the same size, but it's not. I mean, yeah, that's...
No, we just, I don't know yet.
Yeah.
And so everybody says, what are your plans? Well, I have blocks of, you know, where the roads are going and things like that. I haven't really sat down and said,
right,
I have a vision, but, you know, I have to be, you know, what the economics will do. And it's not driven by economics. It's driven by doing the right thing for the city.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just being able to create space, you know, and even downtown, there's some things happening. I look, St. Louis is looking really good so far lately.
Right.
There's a lot of good things happening.
Absolutely.
What the Enterprise family has done with the soccer stadium has been incredible. The City Foundry, is that the New and Found group over there? Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's great. Let me tell you, I like St. Louis. I could live anywhere. Mm. I wouldn't live anywhere else.
Yeah.
I really like living here. And, you know, it takes a collaborative effort.
Mm-hmm.
Let's everybody check the egos at the door.
Yeah.
And let's all work together.
Mm-hmm. No, 100%. So let's talk about St. Louis then.
Okay.
I know I've been taking a lot of your time today, but this is fun. So with St. Louis, we created STL Bucket List in 2019. My wife and I, we were just dating and we went to other cities. We were in Chicago. We were in New York. And we were like, man, they have these online communities that give you deals on stuff and show you where the hot spots are. We came back to St. Louis. They have some entities, but none of them were really in the streets actually doing the things that they were advertising about, the zoo, all these different things. We wanted to hear those hidden gems. So we created STL Bucket List. We were anonymous. Nobody knew who we were. We built up a community of 10,000 people, and then we announced, hey, we're a married couple. We're advertising St. Louis. Our mission has always been highlighting people, places, and events. So people are people on the podcast. Places are obviously places. We like restaurants. We're big foodies. And then events are places, things like the factory, you know, things, anything that's going on in St. Louis. So I want to hear your STL bucket list. You live in St. Louis. What are some of your favorite spots to go to?
You know, I was the president of Forest Park forever with John Faring.
Yeah.
I love Forest Park. I love the zoo. You know, I like South City.
Yeah.
You know, I like
my
that.
My stomping grounds.
You know, I see a lot of things I like. You know, I like the Katy Trail.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a lot of nice things here in a city museum.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of cool things here.
Right.
And if you go over to the east side of the Bluffs and walk around there.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some great things.
Yeah.
And it's just my bucket list is a lot of things, you know. I mean, the Botanical Gardens is great.
Yeah, it is.
You know, Waymire Sculpture Park is great. We have a lot of hidden gems.
Mm-hmm. A lot of free things, too.
Oh, I mean, they're all free. I mean, I shouldn't say free, but you know.
Yeah.
But we got a great art museum. Mm-hmm. I mean,
it's just there this weekend for Art at the Bloom.
Right. And we got a great contemporary art museum, which I've been involved in. I mean, the Sheldon is great. I'm going there tonight to Leo Kaki, you know.
Nice. I'm going to CAM on Saturday. Ben Perimba, one of our clients, opened up a coffee shop in there.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of great things.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Loop is the Loop. And
Joe's been on the show, too. Joe's done some great stuff down there.
Right. I mean, I think St. Louis is a hidden gem.
Yeah. What about a foodie spot? Do you got a date night spot that's like the anniversaries, birthdays?
You know,
Is it just a switch-up?
I like truffles.
Yeah. I've heard that a lot.
I like truffles a lot.
That's a classic.
I like Annie Guns a lot.
Yeah. In your area. Yep. Yeah, Annie Guns.
You know, I don't know. I'm not a big foodie, you know. I like, you know.
Like nice good food.
I like to hear. So when I go to a restaurant, I can't hear.
Mm-hmm.
Then I have a problem.
If you can't hear because it's too loud.
It's too loud.
So you like to go to kind of a little quiet spot,
you
know, fancy older school things. Like
not even fancy. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I just, you know, I don't know.
You just like to be able to conversate with the person you're with.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And have, you know, a nice meal. It doesn't have to be the fanciest meal. I'm not in, you know, it's just, you know, food's food to me.
I'm excited about Napoli's pizza in there. I heard it's going to be something special.
Oh, I love Napoli. You know, I go there in Clayton.
Yeah.
There's a lot of great places.
The pizza spot,
you know,
over there.
Sure.
Narwhals is one of my... It's going to be a really good time on that patio. Absolutely. Those frozen slushies, I don't know if you're a drinker or not.
I am, but it's good, man. I am. Yeah.
Be careful with those. Yeah, those things are strong. Right. Well, Michael, I mean, I appreciate you coming on, but I want you to leave our audience. So our audience, just to give you a little idea, I know I talked about it too. We've got a really young audience that listens to this show. A lot of them are really into business and they're really into St. Louis. You know, how do you become successful, but still with community in mind? Like, what advice can you leave to a lot of these entrepreneurs that listen to our show?
Just do the right thing. Mm-hmm. Don't, you want to make money, but participate and show up on time and just be who you are and try to make the community better. Mm-hmm. You know, the we is the win.
Yeah,
that really is. The we is the win. Mm-hmm. It's not, you know, I remember an English teacher in seventh or eighth grade said, you know, you can write a paper, but you only get to put one I in there. Mm-hmm. It's not about I, you know, as they say there, you know, there's two I's in idiots for a reason, you know, it's about the we, and that gets the win. And why are you doing it? Think about that. Why are we all trying to do this? And what's the we and what's the win? And everybody gets to measure the we and the win differently. Mm-hmm. And that's what I tell everybody. You know, I mean, we're not, you know, this isn't, you know, we're fortunate. You're not going to miss a meal. I'm not going to miss a meal. Mm-hmm. Most of the people that are listening to this are not going to miss a meal.
Yeah.
But it's okay to miss a meal. Mm-hmm. It's okay to have to struggle.
Yeah.
It's okay. But that'll make you a better person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one quick note. Our guest last week, he goes to SLU. He's from Ethiopia. He started a coffee company here in St. Louis. He's 21 years old. He runs it out of his dorm. He had a quote. I'll send you in an email after this. But he said, no matter what I do here, I'm already more successful than I could ever imagine just by going to SLU and getting a scholarship. And that made me put things into perspective. He said, I could be the lowest of the low, but since I live right here in Missouri, I'm more well off than I would be here at home, you know, and he's trying to build a life for his people at home. And I listen to that quote and he's 21 and I'm like, dude, you inspire me so much. And that energized me.
Right.
And I was like, that made me feel so good. I'm like, I'm ready to take over.
Right.
You know, and you saying these things, you've created all these amazing things and you're still working. My wife and I talk about this. She's a English teacher at the school in Parkway and she teaches English and she's like, I just love it. I want to do this forever. And I'm like, I love my job. I want to do this forever. Like, we don't think of when we're going to, we don't even set a retirement date. We haven't talked about it.
You're not digging a ditch. So you're good.
I'm good. My hands are clean, you know, but Michael, thank you so much for coming on.
My pleasure.
Appreciate it. We'll see you guys next week, guys. Thanks for tuning in.
Today they rep St. Louis. Yeah. They rep St. Louis. They rep St. Louis.